Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. We finished till the very end of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're at the very top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of Ashtikel Sugya. So therefore we have to review once again from Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And if you don't mind, we'll go back to Omer Shmuel, which is roughly 12, 13 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Shmuel said yesterday in Halacha that Chosamoy Shebekarka means if you had a cistern, for instance, that supplied water to the community, everybody had to have the ability to go and access that water on Yontif. And everybody had to make sure that Chas v'Shalom, nobody falls into the Boyer B'Rishus HaRab. So therefore, when it was not in use, it was covered with a lid, which was tied down. So now, a balabas, or a young lady, comes to go and draw the water from this Boyer on Yontif, and now it's sealed with that tie. The question is, what do you do to get the water out of the boy? So there are three possible ways. One way would be to matir, which means to untie the rope. The second one would be to mafkia, which means to unravel the rope. Third one is choytech, to go and cut the rope. On the first one, the matir, says Rashi, that's the easiest one, because although you're, of course, not allowed to be matir a kesher on Shabbos or Yontif, but we're talking about a kesher she'enoi shel kayama. In other words, you're like your shoelaces, where you're allowed to go and open up the shoelaces on Shabbos or Yontif, at least most people do, and therefore, it's not a problem, you can go and open it up. Masha'enki, mafki, and choytech, Rashi says, both of them are chaticha, which is a form of stira. Stira soiser of a binyan, just like a boina binyan is also in Shabbos and Yomtiv, soiser is also aser, and therefore don't be mafkia and don't be chotech. So let's go again. Omer Shmuel. Again, 12 lines from the bottom. Choisamish and Bekarka, you have these tied up cisterns. Matter, you're allowed to untie them. Aval loy mafkia v'loy chotech, however, don't go and unravel the rope. V'loy chotech, and don't cut the rope. That is talking about chosamish shebekarka, shebekelim matru mafkiya v'choytech. By kelim meaning that if you have a china closet, for instance, that's tied down with a rope, there you're allowed to be matru mafkiya v'choytech. Why? Because the whole problem of mafkiya and choytech is only a din of stira. This man yama holds ein stira bekelim, so it's not a problem. We're going to talk about the kelim a little bit later. Put that aside for a moment. But let's remember now the chosamish shebekarka. Only matir, loy mafkia v'loy choytech, echod Shabbos v'yechod Yontif. Same thing applies to Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, so very clear, both Shabbos and Yontif, only matir, not mafkia, not choytech. Freiti mor meisvei, the very same case. Choysom shebekarka b'Shabbos matir, avloy mafkia v'loy choytech. Same halacha b'Shabbos, but by Yontif, matir mafkia v'choytech. Zoch zeh shver an Shmuel. Because Shmuel said the same halacha applies to Shabbos and Yontif. And here, Mechalik between Shabbos and Yontif. See, Moses is a money Reb Meir. It goes according to Reb Meir. Who's the Meir that we had yesterday in the Mishnah? The Omer Af Poiches Lechatchila V'Noitel. And therefore, just like Reb Meir is Matir and Mekel in our Mishnah, he's going to be Matir and Mekel in that price as well. And therefore, he says the same thing applies to Shabbos Matir, Avalim Mafkiya V'Choytech, but Yontif I Matir U'Mafkiya V'Choytech. That's why that price is Reb Meir, that I Mekel by Yontif compared to Shabbos. But Rabbanim disagree. But not the Amik Rabbanan, and I, Shmuel, hold like the Rabbanan, that I am Machmir both by Shabbos and by Yontif, only Matir, not Mafkia, not Choytech. You're telling me the Rabbanan argue with Remeir? What time we have a brisa? Moidim chachamim leremeir. Bechoysamish bekarka shebeshabbos matir avaloi mafkia avaloi choytech. Beviyontif matir umafkia vechoytech. Is a chvaita shver on Shmuel. Shmuel said the halacha of matir avaloi mafkia v'loy choytech applies both to Shabbos and to Yontif. But this brisa says that everybody in unity, all said that there is a difference between Shabbos and Yontif, and Yontif is much more kuladik matir umafkia v'choitech shver on Shmuel. And for the more top of the Yomid, who the Yomid ki haitana, Shmuel holds like the following Tana. The Sanya, it says in the Braisa, choysom yeshebe karka, matir avaloi mafkia v'eloi choitech, echod Shabbos v'yechod yontif. Before we finish the Braisa, we see clearly from the first part of the Braisa, word for word like Shmuel said. Just like Shmuel said, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. In both cases, Matir, Avaloi Mafkia, Veloi Choytech. So we state in the Braisa, word for word, just like Shmuel, Amachaya. Fine. But now we're going to have another problem. Let's continue on the same Braisa, the Shebe Keli. When you're talking about Kelim, B'Shabbos Matir Avaloi Mafkia Veloi Choytech, B'Yontif Matir Umafkia V'Choytech. When it comes to Kelim, this Tana makes a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos is more Chomor, and Yontif is more Kuladik. But going back to the same Shmuel of before, Shmuel said Shebe Kelim Matir Umafkia V'Choytech Echod Shabbos V'Yechod Yontif. So we fa'envid and said that Shmuel holds like the ratio of that price as I get. But the sefer of the price and now argues with Shmuel. Because Shmuel said by Kalim, no steer of the Kalim, no divid Shabbos and Yontif. And here he makes a chilik, zuktake the Gemara, teratz to the ratio. The ratio is good for envid. Yeah, zay a get. In other words, from the ratio, stims with Shmuel. Avul seif, el seif akasha. The sefer says, befedish, not like Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif by Kalim. And his Braisa does. Everything more amani rem nechemi. The Braisa goes like a das yochid rem nechemia, who is very, very machmir when it comes to Kalim on Shabbos and on Yontif. The Omer, what does rem nechemia hold? Kol ha-Kalim ein yitol el derech tashmishon. And Rashi lakes to el derech tashmishon ha-meyuchod lohem. Rem nechemia is much more machmir even than Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, throughout Masechtas Beya and throughout Hilchas Yomtiv, we always talk about the Machloikas Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Reb Shimon is very makel when it comes to Hilchas Mukta, while Rabbi Yehuda is a groisa machmen when it comes to Hilchas Mukta. So, for instance, if you have a klish, a malachtoi li isur, says Rabbi Yehuda, chas v'sholom, you now let it go and move it, unless it's the tzarech kufa, the tzarech makoymai, but derech klal, it's mukta. But what about a klish, a malachtoi li heter? Of course, you let it go and use them. No mukta, no problem. Says Melachemia, it depends. It depends what you're using that kli for. If you're using it for its normal tashmishay hamiyuchad loy, no problem. If you're using it for anything else, it's also mukta. So much so, says Rashi. The Rashi, of course, according to Gemara Masechtas Eidavin, even a talis that we wear, whether it's a talis for davening or a talis that you're using for other purposes, in other words, another article of clothing, you're also only allowed to go and move them if it's the tashish habiyuchad lehem. You want to wear a talis. If I want to put the talis down here on the table to make it as a tablecloth, I'm not allowed to do that. It's mukta. It's got to be tashmish hamiyuchad.
Even though it's malachta leheter,
it's still mukta unless you're using it.
I'll just move a spoon around like this. That'd be also quantum.
If I have no purpose, no, if it has nothing to do with the spoon, if I want to use the spoon to go and use it,
of course.
Avada.
I'm talking about stam moving.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so bottom line is that's Rav Nechemia. So now getting back to the Braisa, now I see why the Braisa says Shebe Kelim B'Shabbos Matir Avaloi Mafkia Veloi Choytech. You cannot be Mafkia and you can't be Choytech because he's very, very Machmir. Now, explains Rashi, the problem over here is not a problem of the Mafkia and the Choytech. The problem is taking the sakin to go and cut this rope. The rope itself, Reb Nechemia would agree with Shmuel. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif since you're talking about Stira Bekalim. Ain Binyan Bekalim, the Ain Stira Bekalim, there's no problem. The problem is, how are you going to be Choytech this rope? You're going to take a knife. There are no knives which are Miyucha to cut ropes. Knives are usually Miyucha to go and cut meat, to go and cut challah, to cut bread, to cut your vegetables, but not to go and cut ropes. So if you're going to go and take this knife to go and cut the rope, even though you're allowed to cut the rope, but you're not allowed to cut it with this knife. If you can go and invent a whole new industry of knives which are miyuchad to cut ropes, it's a different story. But stam a knife is not miyuchad for cutting ropes, and therefore that's the problem according to Reb Nechemiah. If you're telling me that Reb Nechemiah holds so chomer that it's got to be tashmisha miyuchad loy, why does this only apply to Shabbos? Why doesn't this also apply to Yontif? Because the price is said be Yontif matir umafkia v'choytich. Maybe you're going to tell me Reb Nechemiah holds that the Shavuos of Shabbos is more chomer than the Shavuos of Yontif. Does he really hold that there's a difference? Now the Gemara is going to bring three braises which are so sir each other. The first braise says, if you're making a fire on Yontif, you're allowed to go and put into the fire a wooden kli, the mushal, if you have a wooden cereal bowl, you're allowed to go and put that and use that for the fire, to make a big fire on Yontif to go and cook, and etc. They masik b'shevekelim, but if you have a broken cereal bowl, which was broken today on Yontif itself, it's a shevekli, that's a noilet, it's a muktzah, you cannot use it. But there's another braise that says masik in b'shevekelim, b'shevekelim. You can use both a full-fledged kli and even a shevekli. There's a third braiser. You cannot use either a full-fledged kli nor a kli that broke today. What's going on? You got three separate braisers. Oh, Mishani, what's the answer? Very simple. Like Asha, Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemiah. The braiser that says that you're allowed to be masik, bein bekelim, bein b'shivrei kelim, that's Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon less lay muktzah. The man diomer that says you can be masik bekelim, but you cannot be masik b'shivrei kelim, that's Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says neither a muktzah. The man diomer that says you cannot be masik either bekelim nor b'shivrei kelim. What's wrong with kelim? Because kelim, if you have a wooden cereal bowl, it's to use to go and eat cereal. It's not used to go and make a fire. It's not the Tashmish HaMiyuchad loy.
How do you know this is Yom Tov? Maybe it's Shabbos.
It has to be Yom Tov because we're talking making a fire today.
Right.
It's a fire, dike braisa. Meretuch Yom Tov. Shabbos tuvaruch nishmachin keish havorah.
It has to be Yom Tov.
No problem. What's the Isser havorah? It's only a lav or it's a fila kuris?
Machlokes.
Machlokes. But everybody agrees it's osir. Yeah.
Why can you burn a whole kli? Why can you burn a whole kli? Aren't you mevatel kli from its use?
I don't understand what your question is.
The person said you could burn a whole kli, a whole cereal bowl.
Yes.
You can't burn a shivrei because it's a nolet. But even a whole cereal bowl, you have something that's used, it's miyuchad for cereal. It's
not that's Reb Nechemiah. That's why Reb Nechemiah says you cannot use either kelim or shivrei kelim. That's the third braisa. Emasig loy bekelim v'loy b'shivrei kelim. So I see that according to Reb Nechemiah, this chumra of Ein kli nitel ela derech tashmisha hamiyuchad lekach is not only a Shabbos dikadin, it's even a Yontif dikadin. So going back to the top braisa, where the braisa we said goes alibed Reb Nechemiah, the braisa does distinguish between Shabbos and between Yontif. Everything more trait. No, I believe Reb Nechemiah. Reb Nechemiah had two talmidim. They had some talmidim that were a little bit more lenient, and then some talmidim were more like the Chazon Nishnikas, and they were machmir even more than Reb Kenzan. Even in Yontif, the same thing applies. You cannot be metaltel a kli. Ella derech tashmishay hamiyuchad lekach.
What did you say that havorah is a machloikas?
Havorah on Shabbos. Machloikas what the onus is. B'chol mash v'secher. Avad that it's asur. We all agree. The question is, what's the onus? What is the punishment? Is the punishment just 39 lashes? It's not just 39 lashes. It's a pretty heavy story stuff. Or chas v'shom is a din of skila chulila v'chas if someone does it. But preferably one shouldn't do it, so you shouldn't get into that machloikas. Okay, Zok the Mishnah Vaisem. Zok the Heilige Mishnah. The next Mishnah is now talking about the din of being Mesakein Kli on Yontif. Mesakein Kli doesn't just mean to repair a Kli, but to create a Kli. So it either would be Al Tzmakim Bepatish or Al Tzikin Mona. And of course, making a normal, regular Kli that we know is Osir. What our Mishnah is going to tell us is things which are not full-fledged 100% Gimar Malocha of Kalim, but nevertheless have the status of Tikkun Mona or Maki Bepatish, Jok de Mishnah, Ein Poichsin Es Haner, Mneshu Oisikli. What's the Lashon of Poichsin Es Haner? Explains Rashi. You go to the manufacturer of Kli Cheres. For all those of you that have never been to a pottery factory, what you have to do is you first take earth, mud, or whatever. You mix it with chemicals, you mix it with water, and now it's just a whole bunch of mud. If you let it go and dry, then of course it's going to be very, very primitive, and presumably it'll fall apart. What eventually you have to do is you have to put it into a furnace, and the furnace is going to go and dry it up, and then it's going to become a kli charis. Now, we're not talking about regular earth that you find in the street. It's got to be a particular type of clay, which is much thicker. Okay, anyway, if you go into that business, we'll talk about it further. But the point is, in our Mishnah, the person wanted to go and make a very primitive first stage kli. What did he do? He took a whole bunch of clay, and he wanted to make from the clay a kli. So what did he do? He took his hand, his fist, and he gave a punch into the clay. And guess what? Now you have at least a small receptacle as a result of that punch.
Kli kibble.
It's a kli kibble. And now he wants to put in oil and make from that a ner. Zuk the Mishnah, ein poichtes a ner. Don't go and take your fist and give a punch into clay. Neshu ois a kli. Because now he's converted the clay into a kli. Because you can use it now as a receptacle. The Gemara is going to talk about this in a moment. Can you really use this for a kli, for a ner? We'll see this in the Gemara in a moment. You're now allowed to create charcoal on Yontif. Now, of course, you're all thinking to yourself, if I'm going to go and bake something or cook something, I'm putting wood into the fire, automatically it's going to become charcoal. And the answer is, of course, you're right. What our mission is not addressing is lighting the fire to go and make the charcoal. It's really being mechaba, blowing out the fire, extinguishing it when it's gotten to the charcoal stage to retain the charcoal in its pristine form of charcoal. What does a person need charcoal for? Said Rashi that the goldsmiths and the silversmiths, they used to go and use charcoal in their avodah. So therefore, this person wants to go and create charcoal. I'm just referring to Rashi.
I can begin to translate the Rashi if you don't mind.
Second Rashi. Zayn oisim b'chamin. You want to do the first one too? Okay, we have a request for the first one.
I want the first one.
Somebody wants for the top of the omelet, no? Zok Rashi. Ein poisin es aner. Little echem in abitzim shel yoitz. We're not talking about eggs. Bitzim over here means that you have the unformed clay from the yoitz, from the manufacturer. Velitchoiv egroi filetoichoi. To go and punch your egg roif, your fist into it. Lach koich ner, for the purpose of being chokech, for engraving and making an impression of a ner, which is kreuzel belaz, and they show a kli, because by doing that you are manufacturing a kli, which is prohibited. Vein oisim b'chom, you're now allowed to make b'chom and charcoal. The inunami kli ninu, how are they a kli? Litzor feizov. For all the goldsmiths, they use charcoal in their malacha, and therefore you're making charcoal. Now, psila nami we're not up to. That's the next case of the Mishnah. So let's go to the Mishnah weiter. Vein choitchen es psila. What happens if you have long, long wicks, which are too long for practical use, so you want to go and cut it down to size? You're not allowed to do that either. Now, let's continue the Rashi. Upsila nami klihi lahadloka shetzricha asiyah v'tikun. You can't go and take a rope from here to Canarsie and put it into your Hanukkah lecht and use that on Hanukkah. It's going to be too long, so you got to cut it to size. You cut it to size, it makes it a kli. And that's why it says in the Mishnah, vein choichenes apsila, you're not allowed to cut apsila to size because you're making a kli. So in all of these three cases, a groisa chiddush, I would say to myself, that's called making a kli. You're punching a hole into the clay, or you're making charcoal, or you're making apsila. The answer is yeah. All of these three things are at least doim elabinyan, if not the arises, at least the rabbanon, and therefore it is also to do on yontif. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, choitcha bi'ur. There is an aitza on the psila. Instead of cutting it with a knife, cutting it to size, you can cut it by using a flame. And the Gemara is going to say, what's the difference between using the flame or using the knife? The Gemara will address that amir shem on the bottom of the omud, onto the top of the omud base.
Thank you.
But let's go. Thank you very much. You're welcome. But getting back to the first part of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, don't go and punch your fist into the clay to make the net. Who's the mandioma that holds that punching a fist into clay? That's considered to create a mono a kli. Where's Ramayah? The sign you learned in the Braisa. Kli cheres. When is a kli cheres already a full-fledged kli for purposes of kabbalas tuma? When it's finished. Now remember, it doesn't say what means when it's finished, but we'll be medayik in a moment from Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, not when it's finished. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, mishitzar v'bekivshon. After you take the raw clay and you put it into the kivshon, into the furnace, to go and bake, you leave it there for 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever, then it comes out a full-fledged clay. Is the Chassim and the Rebbe Meir who's disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua is talking about the first stage. Even before you put it into the furnace, it's already considered to be a clay. Where did you ever hear something like that? Or to Sukhun to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about you took the clay and you formed it into a kli, even before putting it into the furnace. Tos heistach a kli, your mesakin mana on yontiv. That's the same as Reb Meir, that holds the gabi hilchos tuma v'tahara. Already, once you form the kli, even before you burn it and bake it in the oven, it's already gemar malocha to makabel tuma. Chayra
gutarai. Is that the same as Inyan Shabbos? Very often we say.
So let's see what Abaye says. Omli Abaye, mimai. What's the comparison? What's the parallel? Dilma ad kan lekam remeya hosam el dechazi lekabuli bay midi.
Once
el gabi hilchas toma, it's already roi lekabel. As we know, when it comes to kalim, it's got to have a kli kibul by kli cheres by kli yates, and now it's already roi to be a kli. What is it roi for? Even though it's not fully baked, says Rashi, but you can put on it solid items like solid peyrois. No problem. You can use it for a kli. It's not the most gorgeous and exquisite kli in the world. It's not even baked yet. It's a half-baked kli.
So maybe there are different definitions for tumah.
So hasam chazi the kabula meimidi. You can use it for something. Aval hachal amay chazi. What can you use this for? Explains Rashi. The reason why you punched your fist in the clay in the first place is you wanted a kli kibul for shemen, right, to make a ner. Says Rashi, not only shemen, but virtually any liquid that you're going to pour into this clay, it's not going to stay. Why? Because it's porous, it hasn't been baked yet. If anything, it's just going to cause the clay to dissolve and become oskli. So instead of being metakin amana, you're going to be shoyver the mana, if you will. So it really has no utility, putting in that liquid. So you're going to tell me, okay, but you could still put in solids, but it's such a small kli, you're making a ner. Ner, by definition, you're not making a large receptacle. It's a kleiner ner for Shabbos, for Yontif. If that's the case, what can you fit in? You try to put an orange in, it's not going to fit. It's going to be too large. Too large for that little hole, for that little receptacle. So Mazoi has no chashivas of a kli. It's totally useless. So how are you telling me that you're making a tikkun mana? For tikkun mana, no. You can put in something. What you can put in is small coins, small pennies, small dimes, small nickels. It's a small net, you're right.
A little piggy bank.
A little piggy bank. So the Maisa, it does have a clay kibble after all. And that's why our Mishnah says, you are over on making a tikkun mana on Yantif. Yeah.
I thought clay, avonim clay, galonim clay, agama, don't, and I'm a kabbal tumah. If this is not going from Meir,
this is not clay adoma. This is clay cheres. It's not fully baked yet. Every single clay cheres comes from adoma. But it comes from a special type of adoma, not your regular normal adoma. The reason why it's not mekabel tumah because these are not permanent kelim; they're going to fall apart. But a kli cheres, you can have leman yam de yomer rabim. Mushul kli cheres. Okay, right. Ikri Amri. There's now a second version. Now, this second version doesn't really argue with the first version. All we're trying to do again is find who's the Tana of our Mishnah that these types of very primitive kalim are considered to be kalim for purposes of Hilchos Yontif. So we try to bring a raya that the Tana is Reb Meir, and Abaye says, Lav Davka, Nishkarai. Ikad Yamri, I have another version. The same Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yosef. Not that it's Reb Meir, it's Reb Luzer Rav Tzudiki. Who's Reb Luzer Rav Tzudiki? Not. I'll fasten charonios to hoyrois be'oil hames utmeyois be'masa hazav. Replace with tzudik oimer after hoyrois be'masa hazav lefishlein nigma malachton. What is all of this about? I'll fasten charonios. The Gemara is going to ask in another 10 lines. Vos meint charonios. The Gemara is going to say I'll fasten charonios means these are plates which are used by villagers. What happens by villagers? So Rashi says, because the villagers weren't so fancy-schmancy like the people that lived in the so-called civilized urban areas. They lived in a very rural society, and so therefore they didn't have to have fenty schmenty china or crockery that was made, likewise limoges dishes, which cost $100 a dish, and it falls down, the person has a chas v'shalom heart attack. But the point is, it was very, 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 very primitive. Now, Rashi explains these types of dishes, there were three stages in the manufacture. We're talking about not a soup bowl, we're talking about a regular plate. Now, if you think about it, a regular plate is not totally flat. Most of it is flat, but on the sides, there is an edge or a rim which is a little bit higher, right? It's very rare that you'd find a totally flat plate, even a dinner plate, not a soup plate. Usually it has some sort of edge or rim which is a little bit higher than the rest of the plate. So Rashi says that these villagers, well, let's start again. In the manufacture of flat plates, the very first stage is that you take your clay and you roll it out like you're rolling out a matzo, you're rolling out dough, and it's flat as a pancake. That's stage number one. Stage number two is that you do a chakika. Chakika means that you go and make impressions, a hollow, to go, and not a hollow to go and make it into a soup plate, but to go and have a rim around it that's a little bit higher than the middle plate. Then number three, that you go and put it into the furnace to go and bake it, so it should come a real kli charis. These charonios that we're talking about were at the first stage, that they were totally flat like a pancake, without going and having the edging around. And we, the chushiv shmenzi people, we would never use a plate like that. Ah, come on. But the charonios, the people that lived in the little towns and villages, the shtetlin, the shtetl people, what difference does it make? Well, it's oilam haza anyway, because oilam habo. And therefore, even if it was at the first stage, they said it's a kusha v'yusher tell. Okay, so that's going back now to this Mishnah. Ditnan, these alfasim charonias, these very, very simple types of first stage kelim, kunitarakama, tohoirois v'oil hames, if you find them inside of oil hames, they do not have the status of a kli, and therefore they are tohoir.
These are really kli adama. Just what
yeah, but we're starting with clay. We're not starting with just regular earth. Okay. So these are tarez by lames. B'tzmeyus masas of, however, if the zav, however, is carrying them, and Rashi says that by zav, it's not that he's carrying it biyadayim, even behesed. Behesed means that he causes it to move even if he doesn't touch it, like it's on the other side of a scale, the mushal. Anyway, they would be tamei masas of, because zav is more chomor than the dinam of oil lames. After he's been masah zov, even there it's tahar. Levishloi nigmar malachton, because it's no gemar malacha. Now, what means it's no gemar malacha? That means no more gemar malacha means that you didn't have the chakika yet. You didn't have stage number two. But says Rashi, but if you had stage number two, even if you did not have stage number three of putting it into the furnace, then Blazer Midyarabsudik would agree that this is now Tomei. Why? Because it is Gemar Malacha. So when he says Lafish Lenig Malacha, means because it's at stage one, not at stage two or three. But if you went the next stage, where you did the Chakika, you made the impression, you made the rim around it, you made it a little bit wider or higher at the sides, at the edges, even he would agree that it is a Kli. Why would he agree it's a Kli? It didn't go into the furnace yet. Because he's like the Tan of our Mishnah, that when you took the clay and you gave a punch, so now you had the chakika, it's not just a flat pancake, you had the chakika, that's a kli, and that's why you're metakin kli, you're metakin mana on Yatav. So therefore, the Zot Rabbi Yosef, the Tan of our Mishnah, is that like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik in Hilchos Tuma in that Mishnah. In the case of these flat pancakes, it has some utility. You can go and use it for a piece of steak. You can use it for those things which are solids, not for liquids. After all, the purpose of this ner was to put a liquid in. And the liquid is only going to cause it to dissolve, not to go and be a normal kli. Are you going to tell me, so I'll put solids here? No, he made it so small just for a receptacle for a ner. So that's not roy for a solid either. So it's nishka liquid, nishka solid is a chunish. So why is it a tikkun mana? It's the same teretz as before, even though it's tak a small receptacle, but you can put in small matbayalach. You can put in dimes and nickels and pennies, etc. Therefore it does have utility, and that's why there's a din of tikkun mana. Now we spoke about these alfasim charonias, and now the Gemara is going to explain what they are. Tanur Rabbanan, ein poichsiz in a sener. Like we said in our Mishnah, on Yontav don't give such a punch and cause to make a receptacle as aner. Vein oisal alfasim charonias beyontav. You can't even make the alfasim charonias, which is the first stage, where you just take the raw clay and you roll it out like a pancake. Even that is prohibited. He said, no, you didn't do anything. To go make it into a plate, you have to at least make it an edge with an impression and bake it higher. It's a flat pancake. Okay, so that's the machloikis in that price. Now, Freyti Gemara, we spoke about this alfasa charonias for the last 5 minutes. My charonias, vos main charonias. I'm Rav Yehuda Aronias. Ah, yet weissich. Say tomorrow, my Aronias. It's ironic. Aronias, vos is the Aronias. I'm Rabbi Tzoi Chaklaisa. The word Tzoi means plates. Chaklaisa means of the villagers, of the townspeople. Because they, says Rashi, were not like the B'nai Krachim Gedoilim. They're not makbid al kelim noim. It doesn't have to be fancy schmancy Tiffany bowls. It can be a regular, but primitive. Please, oh, get, not a problem. Okay. So with this, you can go put a two dots over here. In fact, some new prints, they do put a two dots. And we start a new shtickle. We finish now the Ein Pachsim, and now we go to case number two of the Mishnah. Ein Oisin B'chom B'yontif. You cannot go and manufacture charcoal on Yontif. So tomorrow, Ein Oisin B'chom, right tomorrow, Pshita L'mai Chozi. What can use these B'chomin for today on Yontif, these charcoals? It's Masha from the Gemara that they didn't use charcoal to go and cook or bake on Yontif. Because if they did use charcoal, like in fact even today, if you want, you can go and buy a whole big thing of charcoal biscuits. You can use them for making fires. If you can, so what's the more kasha? L'may chazi. Of course, you can use them. You can go and use them to go make a fire. So I bazoi. What's the more asking l'may chazi? So the more tani rebchia leitn nitzricha el moisa leulayren leboy bayom. No, you do have utility of these charcoals, not only for the goldsmiths on Yemei Chol. But even today on Yontif, it has a utility. What's the utility? You can use Ulayrin. Ulayrin means the Balonim. Balonim are the people that are in charge of the Bati Merchitz and the Mikvois, that they would heat it up during the week so that you should have a hot base of Merchitz, a hot shower, a hot bath, or a hot mikvah. Okay, so now these Ulayrin do use them, these charcoals. So if you're going to manufacture charcoals, he could take use it today. Frank Moore, how can you use it today on Yontif? Uba Beyon Mishari? How can you go and use it on in a base of Merchit? You can't use a base of Merchit on Yontif. So now, if you remember, back in Masechta Brachos and Masechta Shabbos, there were transitional period from Kulis to Chumris. Well, obviously, you're not allowed to go and heat up a base of Merchit on Shabbos or on Yontif, because you're now making a fire. You can't go make a fire. However, what you can do is, if you have heated water from the day before, go and cover it up very, very well and very, very tightly, so the next day it should go and be hot. So that's what they used to do in the good, good old days, the very, very beginning. The Balonim would not go and heat up the Beis Merchitz on Yontif itself, on Shabbos itself, but they would go and do it from the day before, they'd have hot water. That was good. But unfortunately, over time, some of the Balonim were not such Erlich HaYidin, and unfortunately, if it wasn't hot, they would go and heat it up themselves. Oh, yo, 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 yo. And that got them into a lot of hot water.
With heating water.
On Shabbos. Good. So therefore, is the problem. How are you allowed to go and do that? It says the Gemara, then they said, you know what? No more using the Beis HaMerchit for washing, because these Balonim are going and heating it up on Shabbos. Freyti Mora, what can you still use it for? They still use it for a Shvitz. Shvitz said you could still use it. And then they found out that the Balonim were even heating up for the Shvitz also. So then they asked it that as well. So Rashi explains, we are now in between the two Gezeiras. K'dom Rava, L'Hazia V'Koinim Gezeira. We're talking about a case where the Balonim wanted to go and use these charcoal biscuits to go and make a brand new fire, and it was before the Gezeira of Isur Beis Amerchis Lahazia. Hachanam Lahazia V'koinim Gezeira. So therefore, at that point, you could have used the charcoal on Yontif itself, and that's why the Mishnah says, don't manufacture charcoals today on Yontif, because it would have to be roy to use today on Yontif, and that's why it's awesome.
Excuse me, in B'mem Alikin, didn't we learn that you're not supposed to, the problem Kibui is that when you extinguish the wick, you make it easier to light for next time.
And therefore?
So why shouldn't that already be the problem? You're improving your metakin kli.
I don't know that the same halacha applies to charcoals, it may only apply to wicks. In other words, if you go and light a wick, like many people have the minig, even today, that the husbands go and light the wick and then they blow it out, and the women go and light it up, because then it goes 1, 2, 3. If you notice, it goes 1, 2, 3. Sometimes you light the wick, takes a while until it's chapzachon, but if it's until it burns. But the first time, if you already burned it, then it's much, much easier. I don't know that the same thing applies to charcoal. You have to speak to charcoal manufacturers whether that's worth it.
Yeah. Officially burns nicer.
It
was like that. You always lit it before.
And then you blow it out and you tell, yeah, I'm asking, no problem.
Here in America, you don't need to do it.
Okay.
I did Erev Shabbos.
Good, wonderful. Anyway.
Your mother did it, that's why.
Good. My father. Rabbi, we'll talk about Hilchah Shabbos, of lighting Erev Shabbos, and that's another move. But bottom line is, you cannot compare the wicks to the charcoal to the wicks. These are two separate toys. It said in the end of the Mishnah, you cannot cut the wick down to size because now you are manufacturing a kli, a wick. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have an itza. Don't go and use a knife, go and use a fire. Freak to Gemara, I don't understand. Min choichas b'dil ishnayim, ma'ishna b'sakin d'loi, become a sakin mana, b'ur na become a sakin mana. It's the exact same thing. Instead of using a knife, I use a flame. What's the difference? Everything Gemara tani rabchia, choichas b'ur b'pi shtei neirois. Ah, what did the person do? He had such a long wick that it was good for two neirois. So think of like Lamusha Nachanik Menorah, or for that matter, a person who's lighting, a man or woman that's lighting Neiros for Shabbos Yontov, you have two Neiros, one next to each other, and he put a long wick in both of them, like an inverted U. He put it into both of them, and now he's got to go and light it. So he goes and lights down the middle, and presto, both of them are lit at the same time. Says Rashi, here it's not nicker that he's trying to create a wick, trying to create a kli. It looks like he's lighting the candles for Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chanukah, whatever it happens to be. So therefore, it's not nicker for the same kli. It looks like he's just being mechaven l'hadlokah ba'alma. And since you're allowed to
have two candles, two.
Yeah, exactly. He has two lechtloch with oil in each one, and he took the wick and he put it into both of them at the same time, both ends. Obviously, you can't go and light it like that, so he has to go and light in the middle. When you light in the middle, now both of them are going to become lit. Amachayah. Instead of killing two birds with one stone, he lights two wicks with one net. So look at the Rashi, B'Shnei Neiros, top line of Rashi. Second line, Nois and Shnei Rosh Sheho, he takes the two ends of the wick and he puts them B'Torch Shnei Neiros into two receptacles in the Shemen. In Torch Lad Likon, Ki Achas, Madlik Be'emtza, if he wants, he can go and be Madlik down the middle, like Ki Achas, all at once. And he splits it. It doesn't look like he's making over here kalim at wicks. It looks like he's lighting the net. And that's what he's doing, he's lighting it. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda enlightens us that this way would be a permissible way to go and manufacture the wick, because you're not manufacturing, you are lighting the wick. Next shtickel. Every time you have a psila, particularly, let's say, it's Chanukah lemushel, of course we're not talking about Chanukah and Yom Tov, it's very rare does a Chanukah fall out in the middle of Sukkot or Pesach. But I'm just giving Chanukahs that people are used to wicks in Chanukah lecht. Anyway, so you've lit it, and then it goes out after an hour or 2 hours, whatever it happens to be. And then the next day, you're considering reusing the same wick. And of course, it lights quicker and nicer, like we said before. But this person wants to cut it off because he wants to show off to his audience, look what a beautiful Chanukah, and it looks all these blackened wicks on the top. So he wants to go and cut off the top of the wicks. Are you allowed to do that? You're allowed to go and cut off the tops. What means moichten? Rashi says means to remove that darkened part on top, that black part, to cut it off. That's permissible. And in fact, Tony Bar Kapara says, you're talking about neirois, papsilois. There are six halachas, which you got to remember. Three of them are lihakel, and three are lahachmer. Bav dvar nemba psilav gimel lahachmer. Three, you have to be machmer. But gimel lahakel, three, you can be mekel. Lahachmer, ein goydlin oiselich atchil biyantiv. You're not allowed to go and twist together some pieces of cotton to make a gedil. The word of a goydil over here doesn't mean for making it large or small. It means to make a gedil. Gedil psil techeilis, like you have by the tzitzis. Exactly. So you're not allowed to go and twist and put together two or three pieces of cotton to go and make a gedil to make a wick. Gedilum tasaloch al arba kanfin kuzot chashit chasiba. Good. So you can't make such a gdil lechatchila beyond. That's number one. They mahavin oisa ba'ori, you also can't go and singe them in the fire. You can go and light it, but don't singe them. Yeah. And number three, ben choychan oisa l'shnayim, like we learned in the Mishnah, don't go and you manufacture a wick by cutting it in two. But Buda says you can go and put it in the fire, like we'll see in a moment. That's lahachmir. Lahakel memacho biyad. Instead of twisting it, you can go and crush it in your hand. In other words, if you have a big piece of cotton, you can't go and twist it, but just go and clap it down, and that way it's already a shinoi, it's kalachar yad. You can make a wick that way. Vishori b'shem, you also can go and dip it into the oil. V'choydcha bi'or b'shnei neirois, like we had a libid of Yehuda, like we said before, you can't go and just take a nair to go and cut it, because we said, what difference does it make, a nair or a knife? But if it's b'shnei neirois, it looks like hadlaka, it doesn't look like tikkun one.
So what is meichta?
What's meichta? Meichta means to remove the top part. You see, look at the Rashi. Gemara said it means...
Isn't it masakamona? Aren't you fixing it?
But Rav says it's mutter. Laduye chushka. Look at Rashi, the fourth line from the top. Laduye chushka, kishi nasa peroisha pechem. When you have that small little charcoal at the top. Oh, it doesn't mean real charcoal. But that small part, Maviri can remove it.
Maybe because it's really not necessary, so it's not called a tikkun mona. Find such
spots. You can use it without it on.
Oh, so therefore you're not really misaka.
You're not misaka. Oh, those are, some people would say it's worse, because Barry and Rabbi Bloom both say it's better to have it with it.
That's for burning, but for nice looking, it's nice.
So that's probably the Shaila, which Rabbi is saying, since Lamaisa you're not making a tikkun mona because you could use it both ways, therefore you can do it, not a problem. But yes, Rabbi Cohen.
Why did you drop the expression kalach hayad?
Yeah, but we're talking about using neiros for lighting. Do you light
the
on?
No, bro. Expression kalachiyad.
Yeah,
could be used both.
I didn't mean it. I only meant the kalachiyad. Okay. I only meant kalachiyad. Okay. Anyway, so we have the six halachas, the gabi neiros, and now we go on to something which is unrelated. The Omer Rav Nosson Bar Abba Omer Rav Asirei Bavel Yerdeganame. Not a very, very complimentary thing. Now, how did we get into this Rav Nosson Bar Abba Omer Rav Mitzapsamas Mitgehenim? Because if you look back on the third line from the top of the Omud, we there had Rav Nosson Bar Abba Omer Rav Moichten Esapsila. So now we're going to quote two other memories from Rav Nosson Bar Abba Omer Rav. And there is a slight connection between the two memories, because the first one is talking about making a psila, making a fire, and the second one is talking about Gehenna, which also is rumored to have lots of fire. So that's two fiery statements from Rav Nosson Bar Abba Omer Rav. So what's the exact Asiri Bavel, the rich people in Bavel, Yordi Gehenna Meim, unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, Chas V'Sholem, many of them are destined to go to Gehenna. Why? I'll tell you why. Ki hadi shabsoi bar marinus, a wonderful tired yid shabsoi bar marinus. Ikla l'bavel, he came to Bavel, and unfortunately he had no parnasa. Boy minayu iska, he asked, could you please help me out and give me some sort of business? Rashi says, l'mashal, go and lend him some schoira that he should be able to go and sell, and he'll split the profits. And therefore, you know, take me in as a shtickle shutif. I'm not asking you to give me millions of epis. But Lehavale, nobody gave them. We're talking about the Asir Bavel, the rich guys. They didn't want to help him out. So he said, no, if you're not going to give me business, then give me a handout. Mezoini, go and give me some food. Mezin Lami Lezinu, they didn't even give him any food. Garnished. So Nebuch, this Shapsoi Bamarinas is going around hungry. Nobody helps him out, zero. It's Omar. So he said, Hani Me'er Rav Ka'asu. These Yidolach are not pure. Pure jeans, what's it, pure filigree, pure bread, not pure bread. Yidin Nebuch, they have in them some blood from the Erev Rav. The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, V'nosu l'cha rachman v'richamcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives rachmanis to those that are merachim on others. Kol merachim ala briyos bidushu mizarish ala vrom avinu. If a person has no rachmanis, no mercy, no compassion for somebody else, you know there's a problem in his genealogy. And again, the Omer of Nosim Bar Abba Omer Rav, same man the Omer again. Again, he's talking about Nebuch Fire and Nebuch Choshech. Person who's Mitzapel Shulchan Acher means he doesn't have enough food to put on his own table. How is he going to get food? Nebuch, he's looking and anticipating being invited to other people's tables, or that they will give him food from their table. But he unfortunately doesn't have enough to put on his own table. Why? How do you know it's Choshech Ba'adoy? Oilim Choshech Shem, it says in the Pasuk in Eoyv. Noidid hu lalechem ayeh. He goes around, he's wandering, and he's saying, Vu et zayin the broit. Where am I going to get my bread from? Yada kinochan biyada yom choshech. This person knows that unfortunately it's prepared in his hands a day of darkness. Person who has to be nod v'nod to nebuch go and collect for bread for food. Nebuch the yom choshech. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Moreover, Rav Chisda Amar af chayv enum chayim. His whole life is not a normal life. Nebuch a whole life that he's always in misery, wondering where he's going to get his next piece of bread from. And turn about, we talk about Brisa. Gimel Chayim and Chayim. There are three people at Nebuch. Their whole lives are lives of misery. The Elohim, who are the three? Hametzav l'shulchan chaveroi. He doesn't have his own food. He always leaves, watches, and anticipates food from others. Umish ishtem mashalas alav. This, unfortunately, some of us can relate to. Ishtem mashalas alav, that the wife is always in charge. Although he's the bala boss. The reason why he's the bala boss, because she's the boss. And he is the bal ha-boss. That's the second. That's number two. And number three.
You show bull.
Exactly. Nebuch, a person that's Rachman al-Islam, constantly Nebuch in Surah, in Yisurim, always in pain. Ah, it's a very painful existence. And there's even a fourth. Shechayim einam chayim, af mish einloy ela cholok echad. A person that only has one shirt. What's the problem with only having one shirt? Because you only have one shirt. The problem is that chas v'shalom, lice can develop, and lice are very, very unpleasant. And the Ganze Chaim and Nishka Chaim, if he only has one shirt. But now the question is, why did the Tanakhama only say three? L'chor, this Yesh Omrim is right. He should go and say four Chayim and Chaim. Why does he leave out number four? The Tanakhama, Efshedim Ayin, the money. What he can do is, on a regular basis, he takes out his shirt when he removes it, and he inspects it, and he shakes it, and he shuckles it out to make sure there shouldn't be any lice. And therefore, he Kenzechan eats again. But the Yesh Omrim holds, and unfortunately, if he doesn't inspect it frequently, lice can develop, and this could be a very painful existence.
I mean, there's a din of a gabbat stalker, it's gan stalocha. So it's possible that he went to Bubble, they didn't have such institutions.
So that's what he's saying, that these Bubble guys are Yard Gadim.
So apparently,
the Rabbanan and Bubble didn't.
Although it says like it sounds like every single rich person, I'm sure he's talking about that there was a select group of Grois Ashirim.
There were Grois
Kamtzonim. Even today they've been zucked in other places, and Nishdon and the West Side. But they said that there were Chasish Chuli Levachas. But they said that there are Yin Ashirim.
For Shabbos, we're not in this category.
Oh, Zogt mich dabei zu.
Cholok echad.
Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
Hakob doesn't mention thing like what big day Shabbos.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have separate clothes for Shabbos.
What if you
you have to have. But a person who doesn't have it doesn't mean chayiv einam chayim. We're talking about a person that Nebuch is so destitute that his whole life is a life of misery. It's not pleasant to go around with the same clothes on Shabbos as you go with during the week.
Certain people that wear the same.
Nobody criticizes here in our Bismarish. Nobody criticizes anybody. We all love you, Rabbi Kohn. We love everybody else. Habis Yisrael. Everybody loves everyone. And we go back. Look at the Mishnah Vayta. Ein shev nesacheres vein choytchen aniyor litzlois boi meliach. Meliach means fish, salted fish, like herring. And we're talking about that this person wants to prepare it by putting it on a grill so that it roasts nicely on yontif. Now the problem is that fish, particularly this meliach, apparently was very, very thin. It was not thick like a rib steak. And if you're going to go and put it on the coals or on the grill, in no time, not only will it get roasted, it's going to be burned to a crisp. And so therefore, so that it should go and cook and roast properly, they would put in some intervening medium. Today we would probably put it in a piece of aluminum foil. Apparently a raya from our Mishnah that they didn't have aluminum foil in those days. So what did they use? They took with mushalak licheres a shtikl shard. They would put the fish on top of the shard, put the shard on top of the fire. So about it got it heated up, but it didn't go and burn to a crisp. Or they would go and put in the yard. Now the yard, of course, today means paper, but we're probably talking about a thick type of papyrus type of paper. And therefore, this would last a little bit longer than just putting it directly on the griddle, on the grill. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Solka Daita Chamina, I should be allowed to go and create this cheres for this
Mishnah.
That's what the Mishnah says. Who holds your lad to make machshir oichal nefesh? Rabbi Yehuda holds, but the Rabban hold mishnah zay. And our mishnah is going like the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to make machshir oichal nefesh on yot. And the mishnah continues. Ve'engorfin tana v'kirayim. What happens if your tana v'kirayim had a zashtikol break-in. What was the break-in? That some of the mortar, some of the cement that's holding this Tana B'Kiraim together fell apart and fell to the bottom of this Tana B'Kiraim. And Gorfin, you're not allowed to go and sweep it out, because that's like a tikkun money, you're fixing the Tana B'Kiraim. Ava Mechabshet. Mechabshet means you can go and smooth it out, so it should be smooth on the bottom of the Tana B'Kiraim, but don't sweep it out. Now, how does it help that you're going to go and smooth it out? So Rashi and the Gemara will explain, because what they used to do is, lemushel, if you're baking lemushel bread, they used to go and attach the bread to the walls of the Tana B'Kiraim. That's why the whole Indian of right, removing the radius of pass is aganza chokhma. It should be roided, it shouldn't go on plat, it shouldn't fall down. You have to do it in a very
take it off without leaving some dough there.
That was
a chokhma.
Exactly. So now the problem is, if you have this combination of cement and mortar that's accumulated on the bottom of the oven, it may come up like as a shtickle pyramid, and therefore, if you're going to have bread or something attached to the walls, it might touch that schmutz on the bottom of the Tana B'Kiraim. So therefore, although you cannot remove it, you can smooth it out so that it should not come up like a heap. It should be just a smooth layer on the bottom. That's already permissible. You want to go and cook something in a pot. Now, nowadays, how do? You put it on the top of your stove. Not everybody had stoves. The Tana B'Kiraim that they had in the good old days was something which was hollow, and they mostly went and cooked inside the Tana B'Kiraim as opposed to on top. So here now the person wants to cook something on top of a fire. So now you could try to hire two or three people to hold the pot the whole time over the fire, but most people wouldn't want that because they'd have to stand there for an hour or two. And number two, they might get burned from the fire down below. So what did the person do? He took two large chavisin, two large barrels, and apparently the barrels were treated so they shouldn't go and burn. And in between the two barrels there was a flame, and now he takes this large pot and he balances the pot on top of these two chavisin on top of the fire down below. Half of the pot, or a third of the pot, is on this chavis, a third of the pot is on the other chavis, and the other in the middle was over the flame. You're not allowed to do this on yontif because you're making an oil. Of course, it's not an oil kavua, but it's oil arai, and the chum said you're not allowed to go.
With a keter, you didn't have to do this.
I'm sorry.
That's one of the
if it had a grill on top of it.
A real keter.
It's a chosen nishkat kakira. He should have gone to perek akira in Mesach Shabbos. He had no Mesach Shabbos. He only had Mesach Beya. So therefore, a makibish dechavis list by lane. You're not allowed to go and do that to put the keder on top. Then, if you want to hold up a kedera, you can't use a bekas. Bekas means a piece of wood. In other words, wood you can use for fire. You can't go and use it to hold up the kedera. The same thing applies to a door. The Gemara assumes in the Havamina that you cannot go and be soymech the kedera on a door. You can't hold up a pot with a door. The Gemara is going to say, you hold a pot with a door? What are you talking about? The Gemara is going to say, no. You can't hold up the door with a bekas, with a piece of wood. You could use presumably a piece of wood as a door stopper, but you can't go and use it to hold up the door, to hold it in place. That you can't do, because it looks like you're being moisef al binyan, being masak in the binyan. That you can't do. If you also cannot lead the animal with a makel, and the Gemara in the Havamina says Rashi assumes that the reason is because you can only use the eitzim for purposes of hasaka, for firewood, because otherwise it's mukta. That's, you don't have to come on to the mechem, it's got to be tashmish amyuchad. What the Gemara assumes is that 99.99% of the people use their wood, which is in storage, for making a fire. You want to go and use it now, lahanig es habehema, to go and lead the animals, that's ribbited alts mukta. That's the havamina. The Gemara is going to say differently. As we look at Rashi in the Mishnah, as we look at Tanakam, ein mahiga b'yontif, b'shem matir, we'll see the Gemara tomorrow. What's the machlokes? Back to the beginning of the Mishnah, why could you go and break a cheres or a tir v'niyar to go and be tzola, to go and roast the fish on top of the grill? My time is in the kumasakin mana. By going and breaking the cheres, you're not going and breaking it. You are creating the shard upon which you want to put this piece of fish, and therefore you're making a tikkun mana. It's a tikkun.
Should have done it out of yom.
Oh. Next, you come in gorfin tana v'kirai. You can't go and sweep it out. Tanur b'chia bar Yosef kamed Reb Nachman. The mi efshel lefois elim came gorfai. What happens if there's so much shmutz in this Tana B'Kirayim, if you want to go and attach your challah or your bread to the wall of the tanner, it cannot burn, it cannot bake unless it touches some of that shmutz. And if it touches some of that shmutz, it's going to burn instead of bake properly. Because that stuff down below is red hot. It's in the Tana B'Kirayim. It's going to touch the top of your challah, the challah which is upside down. It's going to touch it and it's going to burn it. So if you have no other eitz, there's just so much, even if you smooth it out, it's going to touch all the food items in the after the office. And then it's mut. And in fact, the Gemara tells us a real life story. The Bissin of Chia, the Rebbitzin of Rebchia, Nofalo Aricha Betanura Biyoimatava, an Ariach, meaning one of the bricks that's part of the fabric of this tanner, fell into the tanner on Yontif, and it's protruding, and it's so tall and so high, it touches all the chalas and stuff that you're trying to bake and cook. So she wanted to be a Groisa Machmir, and she wanted to leave it there. So Reb Chiya told his wife, Chazi, da'ano rifta ma'aliya sabina, yetzach yontif, I want you to make the best chalas, the best bread, I don't want to have any second class type of quality goods, and therefore it's mutter, if you have no other eitz, it's mutter to be goyrif, to go and sweep out that
ariyah.
Similarly, Omli Rav Leshame, Rav said to Shamis, Tavi li, here it says, Bar Avza, the on the side, the Bach is good, is Avza. What does it mean? An Avza and a Bar Avza? An Avza is a goose, a gant. A Bar Avza is a duck. Although they have the same Avza, an Avza is a goose, a Bar Avza is a duck. Anyway, so Tovali, please go and brood for me, you go and roast for me if it's Avza, means a goose. The Isdar Mecharucha. And make sure that it shouldn't go and get burnt. Go and make sure it doesn't get Charucha. The Rashi is the word Charucha, the word 9.
Yeah,
that's
Aricha.
Machrich is to roast, like Machrich.
Yeah, no, 100%. No.
Singed, maybe.
Yeah, no, 100%. If you look at Rashi, the first two lines, on the bottom, on the wide lines, Tovali Avza, he doesn't say Bar Avza, Tovali Avza, Tzli Li Avaz B'Taner, I want you to go and roast for me an Avaz, a goose in the Taner, Shetanu Reyem Hoyuk Tanem, they had small little Tanurim, small ovens, Upi and Lamala, it wasn't like today, that you want to put something in the oven, you open the door in the front, the opening was on the top, but Toila had Tzli B'Soychai, and you had to do one of these dangling acts, that you had to have the Tzli hanging and dangling inside it, the Soysim Pib, and you go and close the cover on top, and it becomes roasted. This time, be careful that it shouldn't get burnt. Kloimar, kroifes a tanor, go if necessary, go and shovel out, sweep out the tanor. That it shouldn't have on the bottom, you shouldn't have on the bottom of the tanor. Dover gvoya, something which is protruding upwards, tall, kimoy ariach, like a brick, or yaven, or some sort of stone, shusak betaner, shouldn't give it sli, the sarfa, because if it's touching that the thing that you're trying to roast, it's going to burn it instead of cooking it and roasting it, it's going to get burned. Similar to the case of the debisos de rabchia. So getting back to our Gemara, Omli rov the shame, tavili baravza, go and roast for me a goose or a duck, but be careful that it shouldn't burn as a result of that stuff on the bottom.
So you can clean out the brick.
So you can do a grief, you can go and clean it out. Zayeket. Omri Rav Ravashi. Omulon Rav Achami Hutzel. Rav Achami Hutzel told us, Demar, Mar meaning you, Rav Ashi, Sharkin Le Tanura B'Yoyma Tova. What says Sharkin Le? So this doesn't mean now to sweep out, but rather to go and put a temporary seal at the top of the tanner. What is the temporary seal? So look at the third line of Rashi, the next Rashi, Sharkli Tanura. Avdei Adoini, I heard that you're Avodim, you're servants. Tochin, they shmir un, Svivois Kisui Piha Tanner Betit, they put on some sort of like a cement at the top of the tanner. Shloyetze Choymoi, so that the heat should not leave Kishatzli Besoich, when it's roasting inside. Shiruach Koshalitzli, because if you're going to have a draft coming into the oven, it's not going to roast properly. Yes. So therefore they put such a seal. V'teimelon Milta, how can you do that? Sidoch Yontif, Mishum de Gibel Tit, told the Lishu. L'choyra, when you are being Megabel, you are kneading that tit. It's like kneading the bread. The bread you're allowed to, but this is Machshiri Yochel Nefesh, except for Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to go and be go and need this on Shabbos. Yom Tov, the Chalisha, is the problem. So says Ravinit Ravashi, Omelan Rav Achami Hutzel snitched Demar on you, on Ravashi, that he said that Sharkali Tanur B'Yom Tov, that he saw the Avodim going shmearing on, they're doing Lisha, how can they do that? Amalei, he said, you only heard half of the story. Anara Raksa Dipras Samchinan. We live near the seashore or the river shore of Nahar Pras, and there on the seashore there is sand which is constantly moist, just like if you would go to a kosher beach, you'd find that the sand which is right next to the water is always moist, and they took that sand and they used that as the sealant, and it wasn't necessary for them to do any kneading because it was pre-moisturized sand. They didn't have to add any water and make a mixture out of it. You had it ready, pre-fab, it was all done. Says you remember Hani Milihu that Tzayre mi Esmal. Tzayre mi Esmal means you cannot decide in Yontif morning I'm going to go out to the seashore and bring back this type of sand. You have to go and mark it and designate it from the day before. You have to make a big X next to where you're going to take that sand. In other words, it shouldn't be Mukta, and that, and then it would be permissible. Otherwise, you can't do it. Now a new shtickle, Omer Avina, the Kit Mashari. If the purpose of making your sealant, you're going to use not sand, which we said is a problem of lisha, but you're going to go and use ash, and you're going to mix ash together with water to make such a seal, that's mutter to do on Yontif. Why is it mutter to do? Says Rashi, because that's really not a proper bar gibul. If you go and take sand, mix it with water, you can make a nice shtick mud. But if you go and take ash, try it out at home, take some ash, mix it with water, you'll see it never really develops into anything. You can't make a dough out of it, so to speak, because it's not really a substance that lends itself to gibbles, and therefore that's...
They used to do a piece of dough around a chul. That's how when they used to give the chul to the baker.
Uh-huh. Good.
But
it was a couple of years ago, not recently, right?
No, I was a little boy.
They makiv, also not too recently, not too long ago. They makiv in shtei chavis. You can't go and put two chavis in together to put the gedera on top, etc. Because it's an inyan of an oil. Amar Rav Nachman, avonim shel beis kisei mutar letzadlon biyontif. Now, we think of the beis kisei today where everything is already fixed up and like a beis kisei. Here you're talking about a person that's going to have to use an outhouse, and he wanted to have a proper... If you pardon the expression, he wanted a toilet seat to be able to sit down on Yontif. Says Rav Nachman, you can go and take a couple of stones and put them around in a formation and make from that a seat to be able to go and sit down on Yontif. Over here we said you cannot put two chavis in together to put the gedera on top, and now you're putting two or more stones together to be able to sit on top of it. These are parallel cases. No. Because you're leaving out one important factor. In the case of our Mishnah, it wasn't just putting the chavis in together. It was putting the kedera on top of it. The combination of the chavis with the kedera now looks like an oil. It looks almost like a pyramid, right? You have the two down below, one on top of it. Oh, just like I said, oil. Over here, by putting the two avonim together, the fact that afterwards a person sits down, he is not going to sit there even on a permanent or temporary basis. As soon as he's finished, he's out of here. The kedera might be there for an hour or two until it cooks. So this is not even considered to be an
a
oil.
Person is not an oil.
Noch besser. So therefore, when you're talking about the oil in our Mishnah, those I said oil, there are three pieces, the two chavis in together with the kedera. Here, you're talking about the bathroom, you only have on the two sides, you don't have an oil on top of it. Okay. Only Rav Lezutu Rav Ashi. El Meyata Bana Itzdeba Biyontiv Dali Ovid Allah Hachanam Dishari. What happens if you go and take together a bunch of stones and you make from it such a temporary seat? Right? You didn't have a chair. You're outside. You take a whole bunch of stones together to go and make a zashtikal platform to be able to sit on. Are you going to say that that's mutter? Why? Because it's not in the shape of an oil. Because Rabbana binyan aroy mishim binyan keva. But the Gemara is saying is you cannot compare. Min haToyra, but it's got to be a binyan kva. A binyan aroy is garnished. But the chachamim were goyz al binyan aroy, and therefore you cannot put together your stones to sit on, and you can't go and put together two chavis and to put the keter on because it's a binyan aroy and they were goyzed. Here mishim kvoida going into the bathroom. Zakuvet abriyas. Go to Kuvra Briyas and fill his doicha lois as shebetoira. They go to Rabbana, they said, I'll Kuvra Briyas, it's okay. Omer of Yehuda, hai medurta mumala mata shari mumata lamala osir. Started getting a little bit late to mention, we'll leave the medura for tomorrow. Reb Hanani Menakash.